And I came across a number of things that was just like having a trip, not so much down memory lane, but with the Holy Spirit. And I came across a couple of things that I want to share with you today. And it fits in so well with a couple of things. It fits in well, for starters, with what I've been preaching on about, you know, the power scriptures, power verses. Every word of God is pure, and He's a shield unto them who put their trust in Him. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But there's some verses that just, you know, seem to touch us in where we need it the most, like, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and, you know, greater is He that is in me, and He's in the world. I was talking about, started from Romans 4, where it says in Romans 4, that we, Christians, should walk in the same steps as faithful Abraham. And then it goes on to talk about faithful Abraham and steps that he walked in. And it starts off with, it says, it is of faith that Abraham was called the father of faith. It is of faith that it might be by grace. How many of you know you need grace? All right. It is of faith that it might be by grace. And then the next verse says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, in him whom he believed, he stood before him in whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, gives life to the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. And there it is, right there. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. And so this is what we've been standing on, is that first step that Abraham did. Is his name was Abram, and God says, no, you're going to call yourself Abraham, which means father of many nations. And it was God calling something that was not as if it were. You see? And so oftentimes when we see, and we talked about how God's word is a mirror, and we look in God's word and we see, if we look in His word, we can see two reflections. You know, we can see what our lives are really like, and God convicting us, if you would, of our, where we're missing the mark. I want to talk to you about confession. You hear the word confession, and what's the first thing you think of generally is confessing your sins, right? Jesus, it says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you see, confession goes much, much further than just confessing our sins. When we confess our sins, we do, you know, it's not just some saying something. It is actually that word confession is the Greek word homologio. Homo means same. Logio means word. Literally, to confess means to say the same thing. So when we confess our sins, we are agreeing with God that this is wrong. This is sin. God says it. It's sin. It is sin. Somebody say amen. So when we confess our sins, we are saying, if you looked it up, if you look in your Strong's Concordance and you look in the dictionary and you look up the word confession, it will say the definition is to say the same thing. The same thing. Homo, same word. Same word. Say the same thing as God. So if you confess your sins, you're saying the same thing. So when you look in God's word, which is like a mirror, you may see that reflection. But you also need to see the reflection that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's another face that we see. And that face is the face that we are in Christ Jesus. And we've been talking about some of those verses of who we are in Christ Jesus. Like, for example, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And that's another face we see when we look in God's Word, is we see the reflection of who we now are. And so what we are now, it's like I said, Pastor Jeff shared with me, another translation says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new species. You know, he's a new person. And so in order to see that face, we have to have eyes that are changed. You know what? How eyes are changed? We talked about the mirror. We talked about the mirror is referred to. There's a couple of places where it talks about God's Word is a mirror. One is in James. The other one is in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. And it's verse 18. It says, we, with an open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. And this is a process. This is a growing process. We're changed from grace to grace, from faith to faith, from word to word, from glory to glory. You know, line upon line, here a little, there a little, we are growing in the Lord. And the way we do that is we look in God's Word, and we not only see where we're missing it, but you see what He did with us, to us, and in us through Christ Jesus. But first, we have to be able to look into the face of God. Now, this place where it says, we with an open face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, or change the same image. We talked about a little bit about that last week, because that's referring to in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, about how Moses had been up to be with God. And he had been with God, and he asked God if he could see God, because he was hidden from God. And God said, no, if I let you see me face to face, you would die. You would go, your physical man couldn't handle this much beauty, this much glory. Okay? And so he says, but I'll let you see as I pass by, I'll let you see my backside. So he puts him in the cleft of the rock, and he passes by so that he can see the back of him. And it's so life-changing that when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, he was glowing so much that the people couldn't stand to look at him. You see, so they put a bag over his head. And that's in the Old Testament. And it says, and this bag that's over his head is what it is talking about. It says, not only was there a bag on Moses' head that the people could not steadfast look into and look at the glory of God, just as it was reflecting off of Moses, not only is that true, it is true over mankind, that we have a bag over our heads so that we cannot look and see Jesus or see the glory of God face to face. All right? And so, what does God do? God does something that will make it where finite man, where mankind can actually look into the glory of God. What is the glory of God? God, it's the beauty of God. The beauty of His holiness is the glory of God. And so how does He do this? How does He take the bag off so that we can look at God? And so how He takes the bag off is He did it by the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us that we might behold the glory of God. So how do you see the glory of God? Because God converted that spiritual light into flesh. Human flesh. Not sinful flesh, but human flesh. And how did He do that? Through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus became a physical representation of the spiritual beauty of God. Everybody follow that so far? Okay. So now we can see that beauty of God, that glory of God, without being destroyed, because we look at Jesus Christ. And how do we look at Jesus Christ? We look in His Word. And we with an open face, in other words, the bag is taken off so that we can look into the face of Jesus Christ in His Word and be changed from glory to glory. Okay, so this is what God wants us. This is the process of growth that we is in our body. Now, how is that bag taken away? Well, you know, we look in the Word of God, but something else has to transform. Jesus said some. Man came to Jesus by night, spiritual priest, man, and he says, wanting to inquire of him of what is the kingdom of God. You know, and Jesus says this. He gives him some spiritual advice, and the guy doesn't understand it. And then he says, "You must be born again to see the spirit." Well, this is how the bag is taken away. You are born again. You get new eyes. Before I was born again, restored into Christ, I couldn't see. I read the Bible. I didn't understand. I didn't like it. In some ways, that's a good thing. You know, Mark Twain once said, when people says, somebody said to Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, he says to him, "I don't understand the Bible. You know, I don't know how you can understand the Bible." And Mark Clemens says, "It's not the part that I don't understand that gives me trouble. It's the part I do." You know, well. You know, you have to be born again to be able to see the kingdom of God. God's spirit has to come into your heart and give you new birth and new life. And that's how that bag is taken away so that you can see Jesus Christ. And so what God wants you to do is to see who you are and what God did in you, in him, or in him, in you. You see? And so when you begin to see that, then you are changed into the same image from glory to glory. And that's why it says, and when you see that, God wants you to confess who you are in Jesus Christ. Just as you confess your sins when you're short of the glory of God, coming short of the glory, God wants you to confess who you now are in Jesus Christ. You are a new creation. You see that you are a new species in God. You have been made the righteousness of God in him. You begin to confess, which means to say the same thing. If I'm not talking about naming it and claiming it here. I don't believe in naming it and claiming it. What I do believe in is looking in God's word to see what God has done in your life through you, in you, in Christ Jesus, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and agreeing with him. See? Agreeing with him, and it means calling things which be not as though they were. I mean, how many of you, maybe I'm the only one in here, but I don't always look to my, if I look at my own life, I don't always look like I'm a new creature, a new species. Sometimes I look like the old guy. Hello? So God calls things which be not as though they were. He calls me a new creation. And it doesn't seem like it sometimes. Hello? But if I want to be changed from glory to glory, I can agree with him or I can agree with the waves. You know what I mean by the waves? When Peter walked on the water, he looked out. You know, Jesus says, if that's you, Lord, bid me to come to you. And he said, come. And he gets out and starts walking on the water. Then he started looking at the waves. If you start looking at the waves, you're going down. Hello? You have to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. So this is, we were looking at some of these scriptures. We looked at the scripture where Elijah says to his servant, when they were surrounded by an army, he says, he prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened up so he could see that they that be with us, this is Elijah talking, they that be with us are greater than they that be with them. How many times does it, in our own lives, do we see the army that's going around us to come get us? We don't see that they that be with us are greater than they that be with them. You know, when I say they and them, I'm not talking about people, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities. I'm talking about the enemy, Satan. Sometimes it looks like they that be against us is greater than they that be with us. But you have to agree with God. And when you agree with God, you can be like Abraham, who calls things which be not as though they were. And when you do, now, the next step that Abraham says. Abraham was strong in faith, and he hoped on in faith. Amplified Bible says, when all human reason for hope was gone, Abraham continued to hope that what God had said would come to pass. So you have, there is a spiritual principle in God where you're hoping that things are going to come to pass. You're holding fast to your confession of faith, but you're hoping that things are going to come to pass. And, you know, our big problem, the truth of the matter is, we don't generally have a faith problem. You know what I mean? We can get all pumped up on faith just in one church service. I mean, we can have faith to remove mountains. We can have faith to change everything. We can just be so full of faith that we can just do anything for at least 10 minutes. Then we walk outside and a wave hits us in the face. I guess that didn't work. You see, the real thing is you don't have need of, you know, it doesn't say you have need of faith. He says you have need of patience. Patience is another power that needs to be working in our lives. We just think we want it. We're especially Americans. We're America here. We use microwaves. We want it now. You know, we don't. You don't want it 5 minutes from now. You want it now. Well, now is faith the substance of things hoped for. But you need to hope on in faith and have patience. Okay, so. We're talking about confessing these words. Now, we really started with Peter preaching that sermon, that first sermon when he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he went from a person that had denied Christ to a person that would look straight into the entire nation of Israel, including their leadership, and say, you've crucified the Lord of glory. And give them a slew of scriptures in the Old Testament showing that Jesus was the Messiah. You know? And it's like, what happened to this guy that all of a sudden he gets filled with this power? Well, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But that wasn't enough. He had to have the experience of walking with the Lord the whole time. In addition to that. So the Holy Spirit was there to just bring it all into focus, you see. And he began to preach. Now, one of the first things he talks about in the Old Testament in that sermon is how he quotes the prophet Joel. You know, how your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And, you know, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever read any material about the name of the Lord? Anybody? Okay. What are some of the names of the Lord? Let's just one at a time. Raise your hand. I didn't say raise your hand and then say something. Say it again because I didn't hear you. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Now you're going in the Old Testament, which is fine. Because everything you can find in the Old Testament, you can also see that God says the same thing about Jesus in the New Testament. All right? Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. That's one of my favorite ones. You know? Do you know where that came to pass? That came to pass when Abraham went up to offer up Isaac in the mountain. And Isaac says to his father, says, well, there's an altar here. And we have all the things we need. But where's the sacrifice? And Abraham is thinking he's going to offer up Isaac. And so he says to Isaac, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord is our provider. The Lord will provide a sacrifice. That mountain range he was in was right outside Jerusalem. Could have been very well Golgotha Hill. Could have been. All right? Prior to that, Jerusalem was not called Jerusalem. Prior to that, it was called Salem. Which means shalom or peace. Shalom means peace. But Jireh means provider. And so from that point on, after that, it was no longer called Salem. It was called Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which means the Lord is the provider, he provided the sacrifice. And so that's when they saw the ram in the thicket. And it was all about Jesus. Jesus being the sacrifice that God would provide at Salem for our peace. Hello? All right, so Jehovah Jireh, that's one of the beautiful names of. It says, remember, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, there's many names of God. What's another one? You had one, Chris. What's that? El Elyon. Okay. Refresh my memory. El Elyon, is that the strong one? The strong faith? Huh? The strongest strong one? Yeah, the strong one. He is our strong God. You know, nothing can, you know, our arms are too short to box with God. He is the strong one. It's the saving strength of what? His right hand. The saving strength of his right hand. Amen. Anybody have another one? Let's get into some New Testament here. Yes. All right, another Old Testament one. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. What does El Shaddai mean? God Almighty. El Shaddai? El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Remember that song that Amy Grant sang? El Shaddai, El Elyon. Yes, El Shaddai. What's another one? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Remember Pastor Amin Oswald said the way to remember the definition of Emmanuel is in man ye dwell. In man ye dwell. Emmanuel means God with us. God came and was a man with us. Yes. What's another one? What? Jehovah to Tsidkenu? 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 T silent? Okay. What's that? The Lord our righteousness? Is that right? Okay. All right. I thought Lord Mercatus was the Lord our righteousness. It's been a long time. So what's the Lamb of God? The Lamb of God. That's one of the names of Jesus. The Lamb of God. Prince of Peace. Counselor. The Glory of God. The Lily. Lily of the Valley. Lily of God. Yes. Any others? What? Rose of Sharon, Lion of Judah. Oh, this is good. You guys just about got them all, didn't you? I got seven pages of them. Seven pages of them. Seven typewritten pages of them. Let me share A with you. All right, we're not going to go all the way through to the last one, which is Word, the Word of God. We'll just share. He's called the last Adam, Advocate, All in All, Almighty, Altogether Lovely One. He's called the Amen, Anchor, Ancient of Days, Angel of the Lord, the Anointed One, Apostle, Arm of the Lord, Alpha and Omega, Author, Balm, and then it gets into the next one, Balm of Gilead. That's just the A's. Hello? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I have something else I want to share with you. Before I do, I want to read to you out of Song of Solomon. This coincides, in my opinion, very much with what was coming from us, from the Lord, through Dr. B. All right? And this is in the Song of Solomon. And it's one of those things which we might have to call things which be not as though they were. And this is talking about the bridegroom talking to the bride in the Song of Solomon. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. Who's the bride? Us. Okay. This is what he says. My beloved spoke. This is the bridegroom. He spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. Hallelujah for that one. I'm ready for a little dry weather, aren't you? Remember I told you, I says, hey, maybe all this rain was talking about something prophetic here, you know. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. The vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. You know, it's like the winter is past and the rain is over and gone. How many of you would like to lay hold of that confession? The winter is past. You know, I'd say at least 4 or 5 out of 6 Easter Sundays preach a message. In addition to my traditional Easter message, I share something that is actually third hand. Actually, started with me fourth hand. I heard a preacher share a little bit of a message that he had heard. And this was when we had gone down to Mobile, Alabama to this conference. And this got preached, and he told it. It wasn't his original sermon, but he shared this little bit of a sermon. And actually come to find out that where this is, where you, if you've heard it, you've probably heard it from a guy by the name of Tony Coppola. How many of you know him, Tony Coppola? Because he preached this sermon, and he didn't get it firsthand. He was actually in an African-American church, and it was Easter Sunday, and Tony Coppola was preaching, and he thought that he got everybody fired up because they were really listening and on fire for what he was saying. And he got to feeling a little puffy about himself, so he went back to the pastor there. And he says, what do you think about that? So the pastor took it as kind of a little challenge. And he says, not bad, not bad. Watch this. And he gets up and he preaches this message. All right? And when he preached the message, man, the place erupted. And Tony Coppola says, you win. Ain't no way that I can beat that. All right. And I heard this message, like I said, third hand. It's a pretty short message, but I expanded on it. So I just wanted you to know that I stole the nucleus of it, but the way that I put it together is a little broader. Okay. And I'm going to share that with you today. I came across it, and I was reading it. And I thought, I didn't share this last Easter Sunday, by the way. And I thought, I think, Lord, you want me to share this again. And it fits in with that message, winter is past, and summer has come, you know. And so I want you to receive this, all right? I want you to be able to see what it's all about as far as calling things which be not as though they were. What it's all about as far as the way things are right now. And I want you to let yourself be encouraged with the Word of God. The other thing is that I was pleased about when I read it, I remember putting it together. And in some ways, it's a little like the sermon that Peter was preaching, in that it goes through some of the Old Testament. All right, so I want you to, let's pray. Father, I pray in every in the name of Jesus, that all of us can be encouraged with this message today. And I just posture myself before you, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, have your way here. Reach into our hearts and just make this so real to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Some of you probably already figured out which message I'm talking about. I have to use my glasses to read this, though. Excuse me. Man has fallen. The earth is cursed. And in sorrow, Adam eats of it all of his days. Because it's Friday. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his thoughts and his heart was only evil in the sight of God continually. And it repented God that he had even made man. Because it's Friday. God called his man Abraham. And that through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's sons, he might have a people of his own. God blessed them, and they grew in Egypt, where they were brought into bondage. But God, through Moses, brought his people out of Egypt, and by Joshua into the promised land. For God would rule his people by his law, which he gave to Moses through his priest and judges. But his people would not be ruled by God's judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Because it's Friday. And God gave his people the prophet Samuel. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, "Nay, but we would have a king." So God gave them a king. For 410 years, kings reigned over God's people, most of which did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of their fathers. Because it's Friday. There was wars and bondage of Persia and bondage of Babylon. There was a carrying away, a releasing, and the prophets and rebuilding. Then man heard nothing from God for 400 years. And now Rome rule the world because it's Friday. But Sunday's a-coming. Then there was a baby born of Zechariah and Elizabeth when they were old, a man from God named John the Baptist, who preached repentance for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And another baby born of the Virgin Mary, who was greater than John, who John called the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. His name was Jesus of Nazareth. But it was still Friday. But Sunday's a-coming. This Jesus went about preaching the kingdom of God, and the Spirit was upon him to preach the gospel to the poor, open the prison doors, to release the captives, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. It was Friday. But Sunday's coming. Then Herod took John had him in prison and beheaded him. And Jesus wept because it was Friday. But Sunday's coming. Jesus knew what Friday was. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat great drops of blood, said, "If it be possible, could this cup pass from me? But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Judas, his disciples betrayed him. His disciple betrayed him. They came and took him before the priest. Peter, one of his closest disciples, denied he even knew him. They brought false witnesses against him and condemned him because it's Friday. They took him before Pilate, the Roman governor. The soldiers whipped him. They pulled a crown of thorns on his head. They pulled out his beard. They mocked him. They condemned him to death because it's Friday. They led him away to Golgotha's hill. They laid him on a cross. They drove nails in his hands and his feet. And they crucified him while the people jeered and cheered. He hung there to die. And a soldier put a spear through his side because it was Friday. Satan danced a jig. Jesus' followers scattered with no hope while the demons dined on Jesus. The Father sat on the throne wondering if he could endure this day. It was as 1,000 days. And then Gabriel says, "Your Majesty, it's Sunday. It's Sunday, and we've been saved. It's Sunday, we've been bought. It's Sunday, we are acceptable and forgiven. It's Sunday, we've been called. It's Sunday, and we've been delivered. We are more than conquerors because it's Sunday. We have overcome the world because it's Sunday. We are born of God because it's Sunday. We are near to God because it's Sunday. We will always triumph because it's Sunday. We are the righteousness of God because it's Sunday. We are His people. We are His fruit. We are fruitful. We are the wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption in Him. And we are His workmanship, His poems, His creations, His priest, His holy people, a peculiar people of His own, because it's Sunday." Would you say it with me? It's Sunday. It's Sunday. It's not Friday anymore. Sometimes it seems like it's Friday in our lives. But it's Sunday. The devil's a liar. The winter is past. Hold fast to your confession of faith. When all human reason for hope may be gone, hope on in faith. Because it's Sunday. Say not in your heart, "Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Him up again from the dead." But what saith it? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. If you believe that God has raised Him from the dead, He will be your Lord. What more can we ask for? It's Sunday. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Sunday. Thank you, Lord, that you are raised, you are risen. When it seems like Friday in our lives, we need to hold on to that and call things which be not as though they were, because they are. We just can't see them with our eyes. They're true. They're absolutely true. Jesus is Lord. Say, I believe.
I believe.
Hallelujah. I got some confessions that I've brought in to say. And we'll end with that. Here's a list of some confessions to make. I'm not just an ordinary man or a woman, ordinary woman. I'm a son and daughter, or daughter of the living God. I'm not just another person. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm not just an old sinner. I'm a new creation in Jesus, my Lord. I am part of the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I am one of God's people. I am one of his sheep. I'm not under guilt or condemnation. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Satan is a liar. I will not listen to his accusations. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I will confute every tongue rising against me in judgment. My mind is being renewed by the word of God. I pull down strongholds. I cast down imaginations. I bring every thought into captivity of the obedience of Christ. I am accepted in the beloved. If God be for me, who could dare be against me? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm a slave to God, a slave of righteousness. I have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. I am part of the kingdom of his dear love. I don't have to serve sin anymore. Sin no longer has dominion over me. Sin is defeated. The Son of God came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. No longer will he oppress me. I defeat him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Loving not my life unto the death, I submit to God. I resist the devil, and he will flee from me. No temptation will overtake me that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow me to be tempted above that which I am able. I will stand fast in the liberty with which Christ has made me free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I will reign as a king in life through Jesus Christ. I am strong. The word of God abides in me, and I have overcome the evil one. I am more than a conqueror through Christ that loved me. I am an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through Jesus Christ my Lord. I give no place to fear in my life. That which man fears comes upon him. The fear of man brings a snare, but perfect love casts out fear. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. I give no place to fear. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God is my refuge and strength and the very present help in time of need and in time of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. If I were still trying to please men, I should be I should not be a servant of Jesus Christ, but I am a servant of the Most High God. I fear not, for he is with me. I shall not be dismayed, for he is my God. He is my strength. He will help me. He will uphold me with his victorious right hand. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God through salvation to those who believe. I am a minister of reconciliation. I'm going to stop right there. We'll look at some more of those another time. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and giving us the victory. Say that with me. We have the victory. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I'm free. I'm a new creation. God is my Father. Jesus is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He sitteth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.